This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. I'm about to offer a totally unscientific opinion, but I do feel like the little free libraries that grace the corners of many towns and cities in Michigan are getting an awful lot of use these days with folks being home during the pandemic. We ran across someone who's doing a free library of a very specific kind with a very specific range of authors in mind. Caitlin Rivas is the executive director and founder of Detroit's chapter of the Free Black Women's Library. She lends out books of all different genres written by Black women. And she joins us now. Caitlin Rivas, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can you explain how this project works? Unlike other little free libraries, aren't you running this off the back of your bike?
Yes, yes, I am. So it's basically a lending library, very similar to the free little libraries, but we kind of practice something a little bit different. We do pop-ups with my bike and also just at community events on the tops of tables. We like to practice kind of like swapping. So if you bring a book, we can trade a book for you, or you can just borrow a book. Yeah, it's really fun to use the bicycle in this way because, I don't know, bikes are powerful and bringing this, you know, information to people is powerful. So I love that it kind of combines those two things.
So tell us what kind of books you're populating the library with these days.
So there's everything that you can imagine. It's really important for me to bring representation that Black women write in every genre. And so it's not just, you know, critical race theory, though. That's incredibly important. And Black feminism is incredibly important as well. But we also have fiction, essays, comic books, zines, poetry, children's books, YA. So there's everything, and there's a lot of really powerful and really beautiful YA books coming in right now that have been donated from my Juneteenth fundraiser that I had this summer, and so they're still coming in. I've gotten many, many books that people purchased through Pages in Detroit, and so it's really exciting to get this kind of mail and to pick up books and have all this, the weight of many books in my hands.
Send them back out into the world. This project originally started in Brooklyn in 2015, but since then, chapters have sprung up around the country. What made you want to bring one to Detroit?
It was really just my own personal desire to have books like this available to me. And, you know, like when I was doing a graduate thesis, particularly in radical self-care for Black women. And I collected a lot of books written by Black women. And it was just a time where I didn't even know what was out there. And then I started getting more and more books for my thesis and realizing that this is just, you know, scratching the surface. And so I really, you know, wanted to just provide the opportunities for other people to hold a book in their hands, see the beautiful cover, see someone that looks like them on the back. I think that's really important.
There are public libraries all across Detroit and little free libraries in a number of spots around town. What kind of gap did you see out there that you hoped that your library could fill?
Just providing kind of like an organized, curated collection that was specifically, you know, books written by Black women, where you don't have to, you know, go through, you know, the library, which can sometimes be daunting and huge, you know, and so just have a book right in front of you. I've had a lot of examples where people were like, oh, I just saw that book, or I've been looking for this book, or, you know, it's come up in my social media feed several times, and now it's right here in front of me. And so it's just an opportunity for people to see books, you know, in a physical way, and to not have to worry about, you know, if I'm going to find this book or if it's already out on loan, and just like, yeah, eliminates the barriers to being able to find these books, because a lot of times it's just very hard.
I wondered if there is something to the selections that you would make as a Black woman that would give us a little something beyond what we get when we visit a more mainstream bookstore. There are Black booksellers in Detroit, for sure, and Black women booksellers all over the place. But, you know, a lot of bookstores that people walk into, the curation is being done by white people in the industry. Do you feel like you have a little different feel for things that people may not be as aware of?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yes. I mean, just earlier this year, I took some time to create some values that kind of, you know, propel our mission to the forefront. And two of them is being like explicitly anti-racist and being intersectional about feminism. Even though we are specifically a Black women's library, like intersectionalism is still very important because being Black and woman is just two of the identities that the authors in this library have, but there's so many other identities they also carry. And when I walk into the majority of bookstores, it's not something like Hood Feminism by Mickey Kendall that I see, or, you know, Zora Neale Hurston that I see right there. It's, you know, often a white man's face or like, you know, something like that. And so trying to provide a curated collection that is literally undoing whiteness and undoing, you know, racism. You know, especially when I was growing up, a lot of books about Black people were still written by white people. And so this is just, again, undoing that whole history as well.
What kind of access did you have? As you mentioned, like that you didn't really have a ton of access to books by Black authors, but what kind of books were available to you by Black women when you were coming into your own as a reader?
Yeah, the only one that I can remember was Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry. And that book has been around for a long time, and it's really powerful and important and beautiful. But yeah, I was a bibliophile from a young age and definitely was one of those kids that participated in all the library, you know, like summer challenges and stuff. But I don't remember ever reading a book other than that one that was written by a Black person, let alone a Black woman.
Yeah,
I don't think I had any access to it until college, probably.
What kind of reads are you recommending to folks these days?
What kind of books?
Yeah, you got any suggestions for us?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I'm actually a poet, so I'm actually like very into this work, and I studied creative writing in undergrad, and I'm in an MFA right now studying creative writing. So I'm very into poetry, and I feel like poetry is something that, especially right now with the weight of grief and just everything that people are going through, you know, picking up Lucille Clifton, picking up Maya Angelou, picking up, you know, Sonia Sanchez, those three poets are kind of the classics, and you can find their poetry online or buy a book or borrow a book from me. Another thing that I would recommend is Toni Morrison. The library just spent the last month on Instagram creating posts about Toni Morrison, because in August of last year was when she transitioned into her ancestor status. And so The Source of Self-Regard came out, I think, in 2018. And it's a collection of her essays as well as different speeches that she gave at different universities and things like that. So that's a really beautiful book, and a lot of them are super, you know, short. And so it's kind of, if you find yourself not being able to give attention to a whole book, I think something like that that has shorter excerpts or poems, you know, for example, might be easier to, you know, take in, because I know sometimes reading a whole book can be a lot right now.
For that matter, there are so many interesting contemporary poets these days, you know, women like Morgan Parker and Shayla Lawson. I wonder if a lot of readers, maybe especially white readers, kind of look at this moment in publishing and assume that, you know, balance has been restored in Black women's representation. But I wonder if you think that's true.
I don't think that's true at all. I mean, there are so many more pathways available now for Black women and women of color, but still, you know, when you go to a bookstore or a library, it's still like a small section as opposed to, you know, the rest.
Every other shelf in the store. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely more space, but we need more than that. You know, we're not okay with just this little bit of space.
Has it been difficult to get out in the community with the pandemic to actually give people these books?
It has been. Yeah, I originally, you know, earlier this year was hoping to do fully, you know, pop-up libraries every week during the summer and fall. And I wanted to be at places like Eastern Market and also other, you know, farm stands and community stuff like that. Some of those things are still happening, but it's not completely comfortable for me. And then I'm not sure exactly with books and people, you know, coming by and touching them and stuff, like how to make sure it's the most safe environment. So we've only had one pop-up this summer, which feels small, but I think it's still good to have something that connects you back to the community, even if it's smaller than you thought it might be. So yeah, it is definitely very hard.
Well, Caitlin Rivas, thank you so much for talking with us today. Caitlin is the founder of the Detroit chapter of the Free Black Women's Library. It's good talking to you, Caitlin.
You too. Thanks.